بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. باب ثناء الناس على الميت. عن أنس رضي الله عنه قال: مروا بجنازة فأثنوا عليها خيرا، فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: وجبت. ثم مروا بأخرى فأثنوا عليها شرا، فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: وجبت. فقال عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه: ما وجبت؟ قال: هذا أثنيتم عليه خيرا فوجبت له الجنة، وهذا أثنيتم عليه شرا فوجبت له النار، أنتم شهداء الله في الأرض. متفق عليه. This chapter, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has introduced chapter, very simple heading and title: the importance of people praising a person who has deceased or passed away. If you have to analyze or analytically look at this heading or chapter that Imam Nawawi rahimahullah has brought, one very, very important principle and issue and concern is raised in this. And we find that this is in keeping, even if you look at the ghayr, those who are non-Muslims also. If you look at human nature, many of us are preoccupied and concerned before we die that what legacy am I going to leave behind? Or to put it even more simpler, how am I going to be remembered? Somebody's name is taken or passed away, what is the first thing that comes to our minds and our heart? What is generally associated with that individual or person? This is something that is very, very important. And it's something that we should be concerned about. What are we associated with? We find more often than not, a person's legacy or what he is remembered by is generally what he devoted his life towards. What did you allot most of your time and energy towards? Some people, mashallah, it's towards the lines of deen. So when majority of the effort and time and energy is devoted towards the lines of deen, then you will be remembered like that. On the other hand, some people are known for being very, very astute business people, having business acumen. Some people are known for their charitable works. Some people are known, sometimes, the first thing you can only think about him is how harsh his temper was, how angry he used to become. Or sometimes you associate someone you always were coming into contact with, you remember him as he was always someone who was swearing or using foul language. So what are you going to be remembered by? Generally is devoted by or is determined by what is the effort that you are making. What direction? Are you known as a property developer? Are you known as a very big factory owner? Are you known as a business entrepreneur? Or are you known as someone, you always saw him in the masjid, always in ibadat, always in the worship of Allah Ta'ala? Or so and so is always going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So and so is Hafiz al-Quran. So and so is Alim al-Deen. What is the legacy that we are going to leave behind? This is something instinctively by human nature many of us are concerned about. And this is something that Shariat also, we learn from these ahadith. The teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also advocate the importance of this, to be concerned with this. So, what action we are associated with and who we are associated with. This is also something that is very, very important. If we keep pious company, generally, our name or legacy will be associated with that. If we keep the wrong type of company, person is always going to a casino, or is going to a gambling place, or is always associating with people in that line, then automatically that individual's legacy gets determined and affected by that. So it is something that we should be very, very concerned about. And Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we learn in ahadith, dua. Used to make dua to Allah Ta'ala, that Ya Allah, let me keep the company of people that will inspire me to do good deeds. And let me stay away, protect me, bitanat as-su. Ya Rasulullah, protect me from evil company. So coming back to this heading or chapter, Babu Thana'in Nas al Mayyit, the chapter which deals with praising a mayyit. So the first aspect in this introduction I have dealt with. Second aspect is, one is the deceased himself. What did he devote his life and energy towards? The company that he kept, what is the legacy that he left behind? The second aspect is, we who are survivors of that deceased. Generally, unfortunately, today, more often than not, we're looking for faults of people. We're looking for their weaknesses. Very little do we praise somebody for his goodness and piety. We're always looking, that one is like this, or this one is like that, spreading malicious rumors, etc. Islam teaches us, not only are you not supposed to do that for a living person, you're not even supposed to do that for a dead person also. Somebody who passed away also. Somebody who's alive, don't make ghibat about him. And somebody who passed away also. We learn from these ahadith the importance of keeping good guman, keeping good thoughts, spreading good news about people. Don't spread negativity about others. Even the deceased do not spread negativity. This is something that is very, very dangerous, as we see in this hadith. Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that once a janaza passed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahaba were carrying a janaza. The people instinctively began praising that person. فَأَثْنَوْ عَلَيْهَا خَيْرًا. People said, Ya Rasulullah, such a good person, he's like this. He was always in giving charity, he was always helping people, he was always smiling. He was a very, very good person. أَثْنَوْ عَلَيْهَا خَيْرًا. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it has become compulsory, wajabat. It has become compulsory. ثُمَّ مَرُّ بِأُخْرَى. A little while later, another janaza passed. فَأَثْنَوْ عَلَيْهَا شَرًّا. People started speaking about the evil of this person. He was always known to harm people. He did this wrong and that wrong, etc. فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, wajabat. This has become compulsory. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked, Ya Rasulullah, ma wajabat? What has become compulsory? Two janazas passed. Some people praised the first one. You said wajabat. Some people praised, spoke badly about the second one. In other words, they didn't have anything good to say about him. Here also you said wajabat. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam pointer said like this, referring to the first janaza, هَذَا أَثْنَوْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ خَيْرًا. That janaza concerning whom, that mayyid whom you praised, jannat became wajib for him. وَجَبَتْ لَهُ الْجَنَّةِ. وَهَذَا أَثْنَيْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ شَرًّا. And the one you spoke about his shar, about the evil, in other words, the negative legacy which he left behind, وَجَبَتْ لَهُ النَّارِ. Jahannam has become wajib upon him. Antum shuhada'ullahi fil ard. You people, in other words, the survivors, particularly the people of Iman, specifically the people of Iman, shuhada'ullah. You are Allah's witnesses. You are Allah's, one meaning of shuhada could be representatives, another meaning, you are Allah's witnesses upon the earth. Now if you have to analyze and look at this hadith, first and foremost, obviously, this term, shuhada'ullah, first it teaches us that whose opinion is referred to, either good or evil, whose opinion? People of Iman, because a kafir can't be Allah's shahid on this earth. Kafir is one who has made dushmani with Allah, enmity with Allah. So this qualifies that this refers to people of Iman. Muhaddiseen have even taken this one step further. This actually refers to people of virtue and piety. Because if a person is ostensibly or overtly fasik, disobedient to Allah Ta'ala, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is not going to refer to such a person as Allah's Shahid, Allah's witness, Allah's representative on the earth. This refers specifically to people of virtue and piety. And why? Because generally, his opinion will be correct. And his opinion will be true. If he's a person of taqwa and piety, because generally he will be safe from ulterior motives. And so, ulama tell us that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, people spoke positively about someone. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Jannat is wajib for him. People spoke negatively about someone. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Jahannam is wajib for such a person. Now we have to understand, there is nothing wajib on Allah. Allah is ghani. Antumul fuqara'u ila Allah. All of you are faqir. You are bankrupt. You are zero before Allah. Allah is ghani and Allah is not answer. Allah is independent. And Allah Ta'ala is not answerable to anyone. And we have to understand also, Jannat or Jahannam, that decision is in Allah's hands, not in the people's hands. Even, there may be, like there was a very, very famous hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that one day a mother was carrying a child, suckling child. فَمَرَّ رَجُلٌ عَلَىٰ دَابَّةٍ شَاهَةٍ وَفَارِهَةٍ, comes in the riwayat. One person passed and he was on a riding a very handsome camel, and the wealth and the opulence could clearly be seen about this person. People were praising him, looking up towards him. This person passed. So this mother looked at that person and said, Allahumma ja'al ibni mithla hadha. Oh Allah, make my child like this person. The child stopped suckling, raised its gaze. Suckling baby, comes in the Sahih hadith of Rasulullah. Raised his gaze and looked. This dua my mother is making is about what? I'm not going to go into the details, obviously time constraint. It's not the actual, but to teach us the importance that end of the day it is Allah that decides. So the child looked and then the child made dua. Ya Allah, don't make me like this person, don't accept the dua of my mother. Little while later, another person, one woman was going past. People were chasing her, beating her, insulting her, persecuting her. Hadi zaniya, sariqa. They were calling her a thief, and they were calling her an adulteress, a loose woman. And she was saying, Hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakil. Allah have mercy upon me. Allah is sufficient for me. And so when they went past, this mother makes dua. Ya Allah, don't make my child like this person. The child stopped suckling. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, looks up. And said, Ya Allah, make me like this person. In other words, accept. In other words, the opinion of people, whilst we are taught in this hadith, we have to be careful about a mayyit. But that is not the overriding thing. End of the day, it is Allah's decision. In fact, entry into Jannat and entry into Jahannam also, particularly entry into Jannat, is not because of our a'mal. Our a'mal don't make us worthy of Jannat. Allah is giving the tawfiq for whatever you're doing. Your piety is dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that none of you will enter Jannat illa ayyataghammadan illahu bi rahmati, except that Allah's rahmat rains down upon you and covers you. It is through your rahmat, not real. It is through Allah ta'ala's rahmat, not really your actions. Nothing is binding on Allah. There's no compulsion upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the hadith teaches us, when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, wajabat, wajabat, one explanation muhaddithin give is that when Allah made the decision of someone's jannat, then Allah will inspire the people to speak good about him. And the people of taqwa and piety and iman, when they speak good about a person, Allah takes cognizance of that. Allah gives weight to that. Why? You are Allah's witnesses, Allah's representatives on this earth. And Allah Ta'ala gives such accordance to that opinion of yours that on that opinion, we learn from this hadith, it carries weight to the extent that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Allah decides in that manner. Allah will inspire you to go in that direction. On the other hand, very great precaution and warning. Somebody passed away, he may be an evil person, you don't become judge and jury. Keep your heart clean, keep and be careful about speaking negatively about a mayyit. Shouldn't be like a curse that it falls upon that person. We see in this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Nabi said, wajabah, there are a few more aspects to these ahadith, but inshallah we'll continue.